You're listening to The Art Cityscape. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Art Cityscape podcast. We're bringing this episode to you by popular demand. You've had some questions about development. And today, Mayor Matt Packard is joined by Community Development Director Josh Yost. And the two will discuss various development topics, including the development process, why we get what we get here in Springville in terms of development, and some exciting future opportunities. First, the mayor is going to address some questions he's had about our water situation.
Okay, well, we'd like to welcome you to another episode of our podcast, and we appreciate Josh Yost being here from the city, and I'd just like to have him introduce himself, kind of tell us what he does, what his responsibilities are, and we'll talk a little bit more about those responsibilities here as we progress in the podcast. But Josh, why don't you just introduce yourself and explain what you do.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm Josh Yost. I'm the Community Development Director. So we have a team of 12 people that does everything from checking your building plans to make sure they meet the code and inspecting your buildings to planning for the future, approving business licenses, and reviewing site plans. So basically everything that is built or planned in the city, we have a hand in and enjoy doing every day.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Before we get started, this podcast is based principally on the question that came to us, and that has to do with economic development. So we'll talk specifically about that today. But I'd like to take just a few minutes. I've had a number of citizens, and we've had a number of citizens talk to me and talk to the office in relationship to our water situation. And I think that it would be worthy to just spend a few moments and just to bring you up to date. I had someone yesterday come to me and talk about are we still restricted to 2 watering days a week? There is no restriction in watering. We ask people to water their lawns and water their flower beds as they see fit. We just ask them to be careful and conservative and to be aware of the drought situation. But as far as Springville is concerned, we don't have any need for restrictions whatsoever. And so we just encourage you to be careful and to be conservative, but there is no restriction whatsoever. So if you want to green up your lawns, you're certainly welcome to do that sort of a thing. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that you understood the circumstance for Springville City. And that's really as a result of some tremendous planning that took place prior to my being the mayor and many years of planning in relationship to water. So we've been really, really lucky to be able to have great planners for our water and our water supply and the distribution of our water. So if you have any other questions, you're welcome to send me an email or you're welcome to talk to the city office and ask them questions in relationship to it. So anyway, well, let's get into the question if that's okay. And the question has to do with economic development, Josh. Help citizens understand how economic development happens in relationship to how does a developer come, make a presentation to the city? How does he sell pads? Who's responsible for those pads? How do we get a fast food restaurant as opposed to a financial institution? Or what kind of control, or is it there any control that we have in relationship to when a developer comes and makes a presentation for purchasing a property and developing something?
The development process has a number of steps, and there are a number of phases at which different elements of the city, from the city council, the planning commission, citizens, and staff, are able to provide input into that process. The top-level kind of planning document that guides what we do as a city in terms of planning is the general plan, and it tells us, here's the type of land use generally that we'd like to see in a certain area, or this is how we'd like a certain area to feel or look. To implement that, we adopt laws called zoning ordinances that the city council adopts, and those are the ordinances that say specifically, these are the uses that can and can't go in a certain zone. This is how tall a building can be, or how much parking you need, or how much landscaping you need, what the setbacks are, all of those issues. So when somebody comes in to build on a piece of property, the first question is really, is what you want to do as a builder or developer, is it permitted in the zone? If the answer is yes, it's permitted in the zone, then they go straight ahead and make us an application with their development. And if their development follows the ordinances, meets the code, we are obligated under state law to say yes. Now, a lot of people wonder why we get one restaurant instead of another, or you know, why we have so many of one type of business and so little of another. Our zones and our land use categories are often somewhat general. In our commercial zone, for example, the commercial zone that Smith sits on, it allows general commercial, general retail, office, service, personal services, all types of uses. And our code doesn't allow us, and generally it would be very difficult to go in and say, for example, in the community commercial zone, a McDonald's is not permitted, but we'd love a Chick-fil-A. It's really hard to make the legal argument that those are somehow different and that we are serving the public safety, health, and welfare, which is really our what our responsibility and our power comes from, by making that distinction. We can do things like say there's no drive-thrus, or there are, get more specific, like no fast food restaurants. We only allow, you know, dining in, table service type of restaurants. But specifying the exact business in the level of zoning code is difficult. So again, if somebody comes in like with Smith's and it's zoned for the type of use, whether it be a credit union or a gym or a fast food place, we are obligated under state law to say yes if it meets our code. Now, on the other hand, if somebody comes in and says they want to do something and it doesn't meet the zoning, then that opens up a whole world of possibilities where the Planning Commission has to make a recommendation on changing the law to the City Council. And the City Council makes a decision on changing the law or the zoning ordinance such that the proposed use will be permitted. And in that case, there is much discretion. Really, the discretion is as broad as, is the decision that the council made arguably a reasonable decision? And that's really the standard. And in that process, you as citizens have the opportunity to come into the public hearing that's required in front of Planning Commission and to voice your concerns, thoughts, and input into the process. And then that goes forward with the Planning Commission's recommendation to the council, where they make a decision in a public meeting. So those two different tracks offer vastly different opportunities for discretion and decision-making and public input. Again, the first, we call it the administrative level because it's basically a staff review. Does it meet the code? Yes, you can do it. No, fix it until it meets the code. If it's something that doesn't meet the code or isn't allowed in the current zone, then we have to go change the zone or amend the code, amend the law. And that's the legislative process that I described that goes to Planning Commission and City Council and that benefits greatly from your input.
Do you find that the zones that we have or the way we do our zones in Springville, are they pretty reflective of other cities in the state? Do they adhere to the general policy of how prescriptive or unprescriptive they are in relationship to what's allowed and what is not allowed?
I don't have a comprehensive knowledge of everyone's zoning, every municipality zoning ordinance, but in my experience, our zoning ordinance tacks towards the middle. We're not Park City, which very specifically says you can build this kind of building here and your sign can only be this big and your building has to look like styles 1 through 7, and please refer to the 250-page design standard manual. But we're also not, you know, some small rural counties or rural municipalities where the regulations are very minimal and reflect the level of development that they see. We're right in the middle of the pack, and our code is very similar in many ways to many surrounding codes. Zoning codes are kind of like folk songs in that they kind of get passed down and handed around a little bit and adopted and changed from one place to another. So our code definitely has those traces of common lineage with a lot of the other codes in the state.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. Let's talk a little bit about what a developer looks for when he's looking for a place to develop. What are some criteria? I know that he looks for traffic. He looks for rooftops. What is it that a developer is looking for when he wants to put in a commercial center that will have some of these amenities or some of these shops or some of these stores that are attractive to people?
So if we're looking at kind of retail and personal professional services, a lot of the considerations revolve around the market, like the mayor mentioned. The first is the demographics of what we call the trade area, or the area from which the business is expected to draw customers. How many people are in that area? What is their income? What are their demographic characteristics in terms of family size and age and makeup? How much traffic flows by the location on a daily basis on average? Other considerations include the availability and size of property and what the zoning permits. Obviously, a developer is going to be much more inclined to try to develop on a piece that allows what he wants to do, then go through that discretionary process we talked about earlier where the council has to make a decision. There's a lot less certainty in that. Additionally, somebody citing those type of businesses will look at what other type of businesses are in the area. A lot of retail tenants, especially large national type of retail tenants and restaurants and this like, have what we call co-tenancy requirements, where they need or require a certain number of a certain type of tenants to be in the vicinity or not be in the vicinity. They need to be close enough to or far enough away from either their own stores or other types of stores. There are some types of uses like restaurants that really feed off each other in terms of critical mass. And there's other types of businesses like an equipment dealer that isn't necessarily excited to go next to another equipment dealer. You'll see that with car lots. You'll usually see them clustered. And that's why, again, you'll see often restaurants clustered like we see here on 400 South or in Spanish Fork. So those are some of the basic elements that are often evaluated by what we call a site selector for those type of companies.
So, Josh, you've helped us understand a little bit about some of the restrictions that allow one community to be able to have more opportunity from an economic development standpoint. We know that certainly traffic, 8th North and Orem, certainly has more attraction than some of those side streets. And certainly some of the big boxes are looking for traffic, US 6 and demographics, rooftops, all those kinds of things. And certainly being away from other stores that they have is important to do it. So let's talk a little bit about 1600 South. This is a development. This is an exchange that's going in. It's a surprise to most of us because we certainly didn't expect it. I was told for many years that there would never be one because of how close it is to US 6 and also 4 South. But with the development of Mapleton and certainly Springville and Spanish Fork, it's important to have that. I understand it's going to be called Dry Creek Exchange.
Dry Creek Parkway. Yes.
Dry Creek Parkway. I personally thought it should be like Spring Fork since it's between Springville and Spanish Fork. But well, why don't you give us, not specifics, but just kind of a 30,000 view of what you see zoning-wise and opportunity-wise for people in Springville to be able to have other opportunities for shopping and for dining and that sort of thing.
1600 South is an exciting and interesting prospect because so much of it is a blank slate, and we don't have a lot of what we would call greenfield developments on previously undeveloped sites. And it's located in an interesting place. Like you mentioned, we really are between Spanish Fork on the south and Provo to the north, and kind of in that trade area, that demographic circle overlap, where somebody might locate in Spanish or may locate in Provo or both, and then we get, you know, kind of in the middle. But 1600 South is so close to US 6 and has that major north and south street of Canyon Creek Parkway that will come up and become 1200 West, that we feel that there's an opportunity in that area to build on the success that Canyon Creek has had in attracting tenants and provide space for some tenants that are still out there in the market that would like to be in that area, but Canyon Creek is essentially built out. Mm-hmm. So on that main north-south corridor along 1200 West, we feel that there's an opportunity for some traditional commercial that will provide additional retail and dining options for our citizens. But we also feel that because it is a greenfield, because it's a blank slate, we have the opportunity to really raise the bar from your typical suburban retail development like Canyon Creek by making it look better, feel better, and be a place you may want to hang out. When I go there, if I'm at Lowe's, I'm not going to walk to Walmart. Or if I'm at PetSmart or Petco, whichever it is, I'm not going to walk across Canyon Creek to Desert Book or to the movie theaters. We'd like to really capture that demand in the market for those type of tenants, but do it in a way that creates a place people really want to be instead of just a place to go to shop and leave.
Kind of make the look and feel of Springville, the yes. hometown feel, much more comfortable rather than something that's a big city shopping center.
Yeah, craft it into a town center as opposed to interminable parking lots and stucco retail facades.
Well, I think it's important for the citizens to understand is that your objective, my objective, and certainly the city council's objective is to maximize as best we possibly can the sales tax dollars there.
Absolutely.
And the reason why is because the more sales tax dollars we receive, it lightens the burden, the tax burden on the citizens and makes it, it diversifies our revenue stream and makes it better for us. So I think it's important for the citizens to understand that we're doing all we can to maximize those dollars, but also to make it look and feel like Springville in a way that you would feel comfortable having in your community. So anything else that you'd like to add in relationship to 1600 South?
I'm excited for the open space and the active transportation components that we're looking at. We already have in the plan a 10-foot wide mixed traffic trail on the north side of the street that will handle bikes and walking, pedestrians and bicyclists get to the trail on 1200 West so you can get up to the new Front Runner station that we'll see in the next number of years, or get up to the rec center and really provide an option for that whole area of town to be able to get somewhere and feel comfortable getting somewhere in a vehicle other than your car while still accommodating the vehicle. And expanding and improving the Dry Creek Parkway and utilizing all of the kind of natural resources that are in that area as a result of it not having been developed, we're really excited to be able to fold that all together and create a place that has what everybody wants but still is comfortable and unique and definitely Springville.
That's great. Well, just maybe in a short answer, we talked a little, you and I are very familiar with the fact the city council was able to rezone lots of the property that's on the east side of the freeway between the two exchanges, some of it on the north end and that sort of a thing. So in those areas, anything that you'd like to add that we're trying very hard to maximize our dollars from a revenue standpoint for the citizen sales tax revenue rather than have some businesses or buildings that are not really paying as much as they possibly could. Anything that you'd like to add to that
yeah,
or thoughts about that?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that was on my priority list that I received from the council when I started in this position, was to really evaluate the commercial opportunities along the freeway corridor. And we want to make sure that our freeway frontage, our real high traffic and very visible areas get productive uses that contribute really positively to our bottom line. So we appreciate the council taking that initiative to do that rezone and preserve our opportunities to be really intentional there. And we are continuing to make contact with national tenants and large landowners and bringing everyone together, especially as we get into updating our general plan to make sure we have a really good vision for that area and that we bring in some really exciting business and lifestyle opportunities.
That's great. Well, maybe just as a closing comment, we're in the process of redoing the general plan. It's due for a overhaul in the sense of just seeing if this is how we want to have things done. So the process is being done by the community board. And there's members in our community which are becoming familiar with that. It takes a little while to do that sort of thing. That just doesn't happen in 2 or 3 weeks. And also the city's been very good about hiring an economic development person to work with you and to try to be to put the best foot of the city forward as these developments and also developers come around. So, well, Josh, thank you so much. Any closing comments at all that you'd like to add? Anything that I've missed?
Just that you'll be seeing a lot of opportunities come out from us to participate. And we've been reaching out a lot about the Main Street plan, and we'll have the general plan coming up. So stick with us. These planning processes are better the more that we can have you participate. It may seem like we're doing a lot and we're asking you a lot of questions, and you may say, didn't you just ask me that? But as much as you can spare us a moment and provide your input and your involvement and engagement in these processes, we'll be all the better for it.
Great. Well, thanks, Josh. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Merritt.
Okay. Thank you, citizens. We appreciate it.
Soon we'll be reaching out for more feedback on topics for upcoming episodes of this podcast. Look out for those invitations. And speaking of which, we invite you to follow the city's accounts and the various department accounts on Facebook and Instagram so that you can stay caught up with the latest and know of events that are coming up. We have a lot of fun things planned, like summer concerts, movies in the park, the farmers market, an art festival in September, and much more. Please follow those accounts so you can know what's going on. A big thanks to Community Development Director Josh Yost and Mayor Matt Packard for their discussion on this episode of the podcast. Did you know that the top way to share podcasts is through word of mouth? So if you have friends who you think might benefit from what we're talking about here or want to know more about what's going on in the city, feel free to tell them about the Art Cityscape podcast. We're on YouTube and all of the places that you can get podcasts. We will see you again soon with a new episode.